John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I guess you can tell already that I'm not Preacher Wynn Greer this morning. I'm actually filling in for him today, as he has been away in Oklahoma on a doing a revival down there. And I just want to say right now how much I appreciate him. Just give a brief synopsis here. I'm a member of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I'm thankful for my church family. And I've already given a little bit of the information on the show earlier today, but I'll let Noah's here in the office and or here in the studio, and I just want to say how much I appreciate him and all the hard work he puts in here and also at our church and the other young fellows at church that help out with the audio systems. And it's a blessing to have that, and I'm very, very excited to have him here in the studio with us this morning. How are you doing, Noah?
I'm doing good, thank you. It's good to be here. We want to say how much we appreciate all our listeners, those right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, and also those who listen in on Saturday mornings on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. We really appreciate all our listeners and the feedback we get from them on the program.
I tell you, it really is good to get feedback, and I know there's people that sometimes enjoy what you say and some that don't enjoy what you say, but feedback is definitely an appreciated thing, especially what little I've been in the radio ministry here recently. I can understand how that becomes an important factor, because a lot of times if you're in church or what have you, people, you have immediate feedback from people, and sometimes in the radio ministry it's just not that way. And I've heard of others that have talked about trying to be an encouragement to the radio station and radio ministries by sending letters, by church members sending letters and just encouragement. And if that's something like that you feel led to do, I would encourage you to do so. It's just good to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters. And again, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. Never been on the radio twice in one day before, but I'm extremely excited and thankful for the opportunity to do this. And I'm just going to be completely honest with you. You know, today we know that this is our vote, our primary vote for the different offices that's being held, and also for the presidential election. And more importantly, in my mind, and I think in the mind of many, many voters today, as I did get out and cast my votes today as well, is the marriage amendment. And you know, I know that Pastor Wynn has done such an awesome and a great study on the topic of the marriage amendment and went into great detail. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I thought this morning that I was going to do something completely different and just not shy away from it, but just do something different this morning so as to not try to just continue. I think some people get complacent after they've heard something so many times sometimes. But you know, I got to thinking this morning about what the Lord has truly laid on my heart, and if I was to do this tomorrow, it could potentially be a day late for some folks. And you know, I do not want to stand here or sit here and try to sway your vote. I just want to tell you what the Word of God says. I don't want to give you my opinion. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. Let every man be a liar, and the Word of God is truth. And that's what I want us to focus on here this morning. You know, I do use Facebook quite a bit, and I try to do different things. I try to post things. I try to use it as a form of ministry. And last night I was going over this in a few of these verses, and I was trying to post a couple of them on Facebook. And I posted what I had to say the first time, and I hit send. And I waited. Nothing showed up. And I looked at it, and I typed for some time, and it was important to me to do this, so I did it another time. I typed it up, pretty much the same thing I'd written just before, and I hit send. And there again, it did not show up. I don't know where the post went, but at that time, it immediately hit my heart that God would have me to do this morning versus do it last night. You know, sometimes you can stand behind a keyboard and type things and somewhat be anonymous or what have you, but you know, I think it's important just to make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd read this, and I talked to my wife about this before, and it's one of those things that some people, when they read it, they might blush, or some people might be for it, some people might be against it, but as you read it, as you study it, you know where God's stand is. And this morning is more, if you want to call it a lesson, if you want to call it a message, it's a little bit different maybe than the normal format, but I believe that this is, with all my heart, I believe this is what God would have me to do. And if you will, if you have your Bible with you, if you're in a place that you can, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. I've studied over this before, and then yesterday, last night, as I was doing my daily reading, this came to my mind and to my heart to read. And this is what I'd like to do this morning. And I know for a lot of people, probably most people, this is familiar, but I would like to go over this today. How fitting it is for today that this opportunity be here. A couple of weeks ago, or a week or so ago, I guess, when Preacher Wynn asked me to fill in for him, it quickly came to my mind that this was the day of the vote. And I just kind of laughed, and I mentioned to him, I said, no pressure, no pressure. And my friends that were with me, you know, they kind of laughed too. But this is such a serious matter, and there's no mistaking why the Lord has allowed me to be here today. I'm not going to pretend to know everything and his will and everything, but I'm just thankful that he's allowed me to be here. And this is the stand that I intend to make this morning. And if you will, let's go ahead and start out chapter 19, and let's read verses 1 through 3. It says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, and both and old and young, all the people from every quarter." And I went ahead and actually read one verse extra there, but verses 1 through 3 is what I want us to focus on. You have two angels that's come to visit Sodom. And Sodom is it's a town of the patriarchal times, the age, located in the plain or the valley of Jordan. This was around 2065 BC. This location was exceedingly fertile and well populated. And when I read that, it made me think of the United States and how many people live in this great nation that we do have. And how fertile our lands are. I know that we are going through what you'd call an economical downfall or crisis, and things are hard in our economy. But if you would take a look at how fertile the United States, North Carolina, is or has been, how truly great the Lord has blessed our country, our nation, and also down to our state and to our county, even into our home. I just want you to see a small comparison there between the two, fertile and well-populated. And what you see is that there's two angels that came to Sodom at even. When you see angels in the Bible, a lot of times they are sent. They are a messenger of God. Angels often symbolize judgment is coming in the Bible. So when you see, if you study in Revelation, you see here in Genesis, you see different things mention of angels. That is God's way sometimes of sending a message to his people. And we see here Lot, he was sitting at the gate, and he saw the two angels coming, and he got up and he met them. Immediately you see him run up to them, and then he begs them. He takes them into his house. He says, please, they wanted to stay. Their goal was to stay in the streets all night. Lot, he just kept persuading them. He created a feast, and he brought them into their house. And, you know, when you think about that, why was Lot being so hospitable? Why was he trying to keep them away from the streets? What was his purpose? I believe Lot knew what was going on to some degree. I believe Lot knew the wickedness that was out in the streets, and he did not want these angels to be subject unto that. And if you look back to, and just right before there in Genesis chapter 18, just prior to the angels' arrival, Abraham had been pleading with God to spare the city on behalf of his nephew Lot. And I want you to think about that this morning, a little bit with what we've got going on with this vote. How many people around about us, how many saints throughout America, throughout the world, have been thinking about this state, North Carolina, this vote that is coming up, and actually praying for them? When you look and you see how Abraham, Lord, would you spare this city? And then he goes down, and he continually keeps dropping and dropping and dropping the number. Would you spare this city if this many? And he continues to do that. But like I said before, when you see angels in the Bible, that they are sent as a messenger of God. Judgment, more times than not, if you look at it, judgment is coming. I want you to understand that the two angels were in Sodom for a reason. And when I read that this morning and was studying that, I got to thinking about a personal example in my life. And I did not hear an audible voice when this happened, but I do want to share this with you. There's a time in my life that I was living away from God. I had been saved. I was saved, and I know I was saved, but I was living away from God. And it was my intentions. I was running around with some of my buddies at that time, and our intentions, and there again, I'm not glorifying anything I shouldn't. I'm just telling you the honest truth. And their intentions, our intentions, was to go to a bar here in town. And, you know, what I had to do before doing that is my gas tank was about empty, and I had to go and fill up. And I got to, I was there by myself. My friends had gone on, and I was going to meet with them. And I was there by myself. And as I was pumping the gas, all I could hear, go home, go home, go home. That's all I could hear in my heart. That's all I could hear in my mind. It was not audible, but I was scared. I felt that judgment would come upon me if I did not obey this voice. It was real to me. And to this day, I have not forgotten that night when that had happened. And that's what I did. I went home. I did not go on to meet with my friends. And there again, I'm not being hard on them. You know, I'm just telling you the situation of my life. And was that an angel? Was that a force from the Lord saying, my judgment is coming if you don't turn? I believe with all my heart that it was. And that's between me and the Lord. But that night, I'm thankful that I chose to do what he asked me to do versus what I had planned to do. And when you see this here and you see Lot's fervency to try to keep these angels away from the men of Sodom, Lot knew the nature of Sodom when he done this. We read verses 4 through 7. It says, But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now it says here, if you look back in verse number 5, it says, bring them out unto us, that we may know them. I don't think it is hard for any one of us to understand exactly what they were talking about there. In the Bible, when you read, when a man knows a woman, when you read these things, you know that this is a sexual act. You know what this is referring to. And this here, it says the men of Sodom. Okay? And when you look at this, I looked it up. Sodomite, men consecrated to the unnatural vice of Sodom. Greeks even referred to these men or these people as dogs. Unclean people referred to as dogs. If you look back also, I want you to understand too that the Bible refers to the Gentiles as dogs. I want you to understand right now that I am not condemning one sin over another. Sin is sin. The Bible teaches that sin is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not picking on one group of people. I'm talking to everyone that will listen. Had it not been for the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would still be lost. I would still be trapped in the sin that I was trapped in. There comes a point in time in each of our lives we have to make a decision. You have that decision today, not only to cast a vote, but also in your heart, your own personal life, your own salvation, which that's the most important decision anyone could ever make. I want to make it clear, like I've just said, I'm not trying to pick on one sin over another. All sin will be dealt with in one form or fashion. And right here in verse number 7, I want you to see Lot knew what they were doing was wrong. He begged them not to do what they were doing. He said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Wickedly. I looked that up this morning. It says, in a manner or with motives and designs contrary to the divine law, facetiously, corruptly, immorally. When you think about divine law, and I know my pastor's already read this here on the show before, and I've heard him read it at church before, but if you will, let's turn to Leviticus chapter number 18, verses 22 through 30. It says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God." That is coming straight from God. That is God's divine law. And you say, well, how did Lot know that it was wrong? It's simple to see. He says here, wickedly. I believe he knew before he went down there that was a wicked act. That was not a good place to be. But he found himself there anyway. God says not to do this. This is God's divine law. He says not to do this. If you go on down in verse number 8, it says, "Behold now, I have two daughters." This is Lot speaking. "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." You know, you imagine this. Lot was willing to give his own daughters to keep these men of Sodom away from these angels. It was so important to him. He knew how wicked this was. I believe with all my heart that he knew what God's divine law was. And when he saw this, he saw how fervently these men were trying to get to these angels. It put him in a bad spot. You read this, how desperate Lot sounds in his trying to keep these angels separated from these men. he was in desperate need. He was in a bad shape. You know, you look around, you see people today in the same condition, in a place that they should never have been, doing things they should never have been doing, and look who's suffering. Not just Lot. Look at his daughters. Look what he had subjected his own family to through the choices that he's made. Verses 9 through 13, and quickly I'm heading on, it says, "And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow come in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge now. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, haste thou here any besides? Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." There again, like I said at the beginning, when you see angels, sometimes that is a sign of judgment. And that's exactly what they said that they were there to do. They were sent there by God to destroy this city. And one thing that really jumped out in my mind here is in verse 11, it says that, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness." And when I read this here, my mind went straight to another book of the Bible, went straight to some other scripture. If you can, there again, if you have your Bible and you can, let's turn to Romans chapter number 1. And I'm not reading anything probably that you've not read on your own before or have not heard during the process of this study through this program. But Romans chapter 1, verses number 24 through 32. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving unto themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over unto a reprobate mind." And that's what I want to think about right here, reprobate mind. What's it mean to have a reprobate mind? Reprobate means to be abandoned to error or apostasy. These men that you read about over here in Genesis, the angels smote them with blindness. They were weary to even try to find the door. They couldn't see. They were no longer able to see what was going on. They couldn't find these men. They were blinded. And when I think of blinded, I think about people that have been turned over to a reprobate mind. Their mind has been abandoned to error. They're just left alone. How important it is for somebody to be willing to stand. I just want to say right here, I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for the preachers that I've heard on the radio here locally recently. Somebody that's willing to stand up and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell people about God's commandments. You know, this morning I talked about love one another. And that's what this was about. What would cause a man to come on the radio, to stand in a pulpit, to stand on the side of the road, and try to tell people about Jesus? Try to tell people about the error of their way. There's all kinds of sin. I'm not trying to just pick on one this morning. I'm trying to be honest about and above board, across the board with all sin. What would cause a man to be able and be willing to stand and tell people about this? It's quite simple. It's the love of God. God loves you. God loves these people. God wants to see you saved. It's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God will save you if you'll come out of it. One thing, I'll quickly go on here. In verse number 14, Lot begs his son-in-laws to leave, and they mock him. You know, I was thinking about that. How many signs have been picked up and thrown away? How many different things have gone back and forth here in Watauga County the past few weeks, the past month, or however long? People that come in the right spirit. Now, I know that people could come in a wrong spirit, but I'm talking about the ones that have actually tried to greet people with the right spirit. Please don't mock and turn them away. People aren't trying to tell you about the Lord for their own good. It's for your good. I thank God somebody told me about Jesus one day, and it was for my good that I got saved. And I can't be so thankful. I'm just so thankful for that. Verse 15 through 23, Lot, you find him fleeing. And then verses 24 through 29, you see Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. And it goes down to talk about this, and I did just a little bit of reading on this, and I'm going to have to hurry and go ahead and close. But I want you to think about this. Where those cities were during that time, they're no longer there. That place where those cities were is now covered with water. During biblical times, time of the Bible here, I read in some places, I don't have the date, but you could still see remnants of it but as the water was coming up to it. Water also, you have fire and you have water. Those are signs of judgment. Water now covers those places, covers the place that city was. And one thing I want you to think about, and I heard a preacher say this Sunday night at a missions conference, missions revival service, he said he has not, through the reading of his Bible, and he's been a preacher for some time, he has not found America, the United States, mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Now I want you to think about that. Sodom and Gomorrah is now underwater. Why is the United States not mentioned in the Bible? Where are we going to be in the future? Where is the United States going to be? And I just want you to think back to Genesis chapter number 13, verses 8 through 13. Lot had a decision to make. He was able to decide. He gave first choice to decide where he was going to go. He chose to cast his tent to dwell toward Sodom. That was his decision. I want you to know this morning, man has free will. You have a decision to make. And I just want you to understand that sin is a separator from God. And I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church of Vilas, North Carolina. We want to thank Brother Jason Cornett for filling in for Pastor Greer today. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org or through our church phone number. It's 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596.